When several weeks ago I looked at that passage for the first time, knowing that I was going to preach on it, I thought, what on earth have I let myself in for? And at that point, my new Mike was going to go to France on the exchange, and I thought, lucky Mike, he's got out of it. And to be honest with you, I nearly chickened out and chose the epistle reading on healing instead. But I do like a challenge, and I was encouraged when I came in this morning to hear Claire say to me that when she looked at it to prepare it for the reading, she had exactly the same thoughts as I did. And it made me wonder what we all do, what you do. It's a question to you. If you are reading the scriptures and come across a passage that you either don't understand or that you don't like or that you would rather not face, do you skip it? If you're one of those people that reads through a book of the Bible in a staged sort of way, do you go through in a hurried way, or do you say, I'll leave that aside for some other time, or I'll go and buy a book on that, but I can't make head nor tail of it at the moment? Wonder what you do actually do. When you hear one in church, when you hear a preacher say something that you disagree with, and I'd love you to disagree with me afterwards over a cup of tea or coffee. I would, really. It's really hard when you preach and then you don't know what people think at the end. This is as hard for me as it is for you, but it is the scriptures given us by God. It's God's word, and like it or lump it, we have to face it, even if it does deal with cutting off hands and plucking out eyes and worms and unquenchable fire. The issue here is judgment. It's not a word we like in a liberal, politically correct, postmodern world. We don't talk about judgment very much, or at least occasionally in the newspapers when we hear about someone we don't like, then we want to judge them, dump them into prison, hang them. But generally in everyday talk, judgment is out of fashion. And in this reading, Jesus sounds like judge, jury, and executioner. A nastier version of the Lord High Executioner in the Mikado, with a little list of baddies, and they'll none of them be missed. Death to the people Jesus doesn't like. Death to the people we don't like. But in the Bible, judgment isn't actually about execution. Judgment is not about retribution. Judgment is about the possibility of redemption, of change, of rehabilitation. And here's where I, and you I guess, have to put aside our human cynicism for a moment. What the scripture is trying to get us to do is to see that the world is such a hard place and people are such hard cases, ourselves included, that either we have to have a gospel of redemption, of possibility, of hope, of rehabilitation, or we might as well close St. Mary's Comberton down altogether. And because it's such a hard world, and because change is not easy, when Jesus wants to speak of redemption, he uses hard words, because it is just such a desperate thing. And the first thing that I hear in this passage is Jesus saying, don't sort people into goodies and baddies. Jesus' disciples did. There are some people out there, Jesus, who are actually casting demons out in your name, but they don't belong to us bunch of disciples. So stop them, will you, because they don't belong to us. But when they complained, Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. Now, I know that on another occasion he said the opposite in a different context. Whoever is not for us is against us. But we don't so often hear this one. Whoever is not against us is for us. These actions, Jesus says, that we see in the case of these particular people, the casting out of evil spirits, the healing of those who are sick, but even the little cups of water that Jesus speaks about are pointing in the right direction. They are small actions that point towards the kingdom of God. They are insignificant things that change the world. These are the simple, unthinking, but deeply valuable generosities of spirit that are blessed and rewarded by God. There is no one who gives a cup of water to someone who is thirsty in my name who will not receive his or her reward. So the passage begins to lift a little bit at that point before it gets worse. On the other hand, there are also small actions with large consequences, often unnoticed at first, which point in totally the wrong direction and which deserve the harshest of words, like causing one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble. This, says Jesus, is the thoughtlessness that leads to the fires of hell. And if I don't like listening to words about hell, I need to hear Jesus saying to me, Adrian, when you are driving down the road and you wind your window down and you shout out at someone because of their way of driving, you do not know what the consequences of your small, unthinking action are. It may lead to the fires of hell. Jesus is not so much talking about hell as warning that what we do matters. And it may have eternal significance, whether it's giving a cup of water or whether it's gesticulating at someone that we don't like, whether it's shouting at someone in our household, whether it's doing something in a shop that leaves us feeling ashamed afterwards. Whatever it is, Jesus says, judge it, because it counts. Judgment matters. Jesus is angry here because he sees children being broken and destroyed because of our thoughtless words. Jesus is angry here because he knows that when we say, send the foreigners home, it may lead to a race riot in 3 years' time. Who is responsible, says Jesus? Those who burn cars? Or those who write letters in the newspapers? Do you know? And so, deep down, under all of the language about fire and worms and hands and eyes that we don't like, is a message that I need, and I think we all need, to hear. It's actually a call from Jesus, dare we resist it, for reflection on the simple actions of life, our everyday, the ordinary, boring things which are what really make up life. They have eternal consequences in the way God thinks about them, in the mark or the footprint that they leave on the world, and the way in which they form us as people. People for God, or people against God. But again, hear me, don't sort people into goodies and baddies. There are things that I do that point me and my life towards God. And there are other things that I, the same I do, that point me and other people away from God towards the fires of hell, of which I need to repent. But in order to repent, I need to be self-aware. I need to hear God judging me. Not for execution, but for rehabilitation, for redemption. So for Jesus, at the end of the Gospel passage, and you can read it again later, this reflection is described in very graphic terms. There are two kinds of fire. I don't know if you noticed it. There is the fires of hell, which is destructive fire, and there is the fire of cleansing, life which is salted, Jesus says, with fire. The fire of purification, the fire that burns away the rubbish and leaves holiness. And the challenge for me today is actually to avoid drifting thoughtlessly into the fires of hell, but to allow my Christian faith, my God, my scriptures, to call me to account, to raise questions about the small actions of my everyday life, to stand me. I need to allow the scriptures to stand me in the dock of God's merciful judgment. Let me repeat that, but say you this time. To allow the scriptures to stand you in the dock of God's merciful judgment. To hear God's sentence on your actions. To accept that sentence. To say sorry, such a hard thing to do. And to allow God's Holy Spirit to work in you, in me, in us, the purifying changes that lead us to the kingdom of God. So later today, in the quiet, go back to it. Forget the eyes and the hands and the fires and the worms, and ask the simple, hard, but finally redemptive question. What is God saying to me about the small things of my life? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.